Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Dion Gordon Podcast. I am your host, the connoisseur of common sense, the purveyor of authenticity, the man who calls it right down the middle, Dion Tyre Gordon. Enough of the bullshit. Let's get to work. The goal of this particular podcast is to help people gain clarity. Because unfortunately, as always, as is often the case, a lot of people are speaking out of turn. A lot of people are talking about something that they don't really know what the fuck they're talking about. A lot of people are just saying things to be saying things. So as always, your friendly neighborhood Dion Gordon is here to help you understand, to help you gain perspective, to help you figure out what really happened and what's really going on. I'm always here to help. I'm your friend in need. I'm always there for you, 24/7, 365, all day, every day, twice on Sunday. If you're talking sideways, I'm here to straighten you out. Unless you have been living under a rock, you may or may not know that Chris Rock, legendary comedian, got the pootie tang slapped out of him by Will Smith at the Oscars due to an off-color joke that Chris Rock made about Will Smith's wife, Jada Pinkett Smith. Some folks agree with what Will Smith did. Some folks disagree with what Will Smith did. Some people think, oh, it's just a joke. Who cares? Get over it. It's just words. Some people think Will's defending his wife. He's doing what a man is supposed to do. A man disrespected, a man denigrated, a man ridiculed your wife and mocked her medical condition on stage in front of the entire world in a room of predominantly white people. A black man ridiculed, mocked, and offended a black woman. And her husband, a black man, went on stage and slapped the sonic rings out of that black man. And people got their panties in a bunch about it. People are pissed off, upset, hot button topic, polarizing. What side of the fence are you on? Do you agree with the widespread condemnation that Will Smith has received the day after, or do you think he was justified in what he did? I'm here to help explain to people what really went on and give my side of the story. Everyone's got their take on it, so why not me? Why not Dion Tyre Gordon on the legendary, critically acclaimed Dion Gordon Podcast offer his two cents as to what happened? First and foremost, let's state for the audience, let's state the obvious. What went down last night, what you saw last night, was a clear-cut, obvious nigga moment. I don't even use the N-word too often on this podcast, but to accurately describe what we saw last night, I have to quote the words of the legendary Huey Freeman from the Boondocks and describe that as what it was. That was a nigga moment. Now, some of our Caucasian friends may be wondering and asking, Dion, what is a nigga moment? Well, as I already stated, I'm your friend. I'm here to help. I'm here to explain. I'm here to educate. Because for so many years of my existence growing up in Frederick, Maryland, there were so many white folks who asked me, because apparently I was the only black person that they knew. They would ask me so many different questions as to why do black people do this? Why do black people do that? How come black people are always mad? How come black people don't smile? How come black people this, black people blah, 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 blah. Apparently, if you don't talk to enough black people, you have to corner the one black person you're in close proximity with and bombard them with dumbass, endless, incessant questions about black people's behavior, as if that one black person you're currently talking to is the unofficial spokesperson for all black people on planet Earth. So, to help out all of our Caucasian friends who don't interact with black people unless they're forced to, I'm going to explain to you what a nigga moment is, as quoted by Huey Freeman on the Boondocks. A nigga moment is a moment when ignorance overwhelms the mind of an otherwise logical Negro male, causing him to act in an illogical, self-destructive manner. Nigga moments are unpredictable, and if they had their own category, they would be the third leading killer of black men behind pork chops and FEMA. It's a proven fact. Will Smith, for about 30-plus years now, has been a wholesome, clean-cut, cookie-cutter, all-American good guy. A legendary rapper, one of the greatest rappers of all time, the Fresh Prince and DJ Jazzy Jeff, were a legendary rap duo who who produced numerous hits such as Summertime, which you will hear at every single black cookout in the summer. As soon as it starts getting hot outside, as soon as the temperature goes above 80 degrees, every black radio station in America will play Summertime by Will Smith and DJ Jazzy Jeff. That's also a proven fact. I think I can beat Mike Tyson. Parents just don't understand. He's the DJ, I'm the rapper. So on and so forth. A legendary rap career, one of the first rappers to ever win a Grammy. He then transitioned from hip-hop to the small screen on television with an iconic sitcom, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, that ran for about 6 or 7 years on NBC, the National Broadcasting Corporation. This is mainstream television. This is a black male from West Philadelphia, born and raised on the playground. It's where he spent all of his days, chilling out, maxing, relaxing all cool, shooting some b-ball outside of school. Well, a couple of guys, it was up to no good. Okay, I got carried away. But you get the point. Will Smith, the star of a sitcom on a major national mainstream broadcast network, was in your home on a daily, nightly basis, and currently still is. It runs on syndication, and now there's a spinoff of that show called Bel-Air. So a hip-hop star, a small-screen television star, and then he becomes one of the biggest movie stars on the planet. Independence Day, Men in Black, Ali, Bad Boys 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, Hancock. Okay, you probably shouldn't talk about Hancock. That movie sucks, as does Wild Wild West. But you get the point, right? You get the picture. Will Smith is one of the biggest movie stars, one of the biggest stars on the planet, and he's always been known as a good guy, a nice dude. He don't even curse in his music. He curses in his movies, but in his music, in his songs, he doesn't curse. He made a big deal about this at the 1999 MCV Video Music Awards, when he won a VMA for Getting Jiggy With It or whatever the fuck in Miami, one of his popular songs. I like Will Smith, by the way. I'm a huge Will Smith fan. I'm not trying to ridicule him right now. You'll see where I'm going with this in a little bit. But Will Smith won a VMA in 1999 and then went on stage and received that award and said, I did this without having to curse in my music. To which Eminem famously said on The Real Slim Shady, Will Smith don't have to cuss in his raps to sell records. Well, I do, so fuck him and fuck you too. But see, that's who Will Smith was, the good old all-American, clean-cut, polished, nice guy, just down-to-earth, humble. Everyone likes Will Smith. You can play a Will Smith song in front of your parents and your grandparents because there's no curse words. It's a happy-go-lucky, fun song that everyone, people of all ages, can listen to and love and receive and dance to and have a good time with. Will Smith's a nice guy. Fast forward to July of 2020, and the wheels start to unravel on the nice guy image of Will Smith, the clean-cut, wholesome, pristine image of Will Smith. In July of 2020, Jada Pinkett Smith, on her Red Table Talk show, announced to the entire world that she was having what she called an entanglement, an open romantic relationship with an R&B singer by the name of August Alsina that happened at a time when she was on an amicable break with her husband Will. On the Red Table Talk show on Facebook Watch, Pinkett Smith spoke clearly and openly to address the remarks that August Alsina had made and invited Will to share his truth. Now, at the time of said entanglement, August Alsina was 27, Jada Pinkett Smith was 48. They were introduced in 2015 by Jada and Will's son, Jaden, who says the two became very close, even vacationing with the family in Hawaii in 2016 and attending the 2017 BET Awards together. So this guy was a family friend. August Alsina claims that he fell in love with Jada Pinkett Smith, saying, quote, I totally gave myself to that relationship for years of my life, and I truly and really, really deeply love and have a ton of love for her. I devoted myself to it. I gave my full self to it, so much so to the point that I can die right now and be okay with knowing that I truly gave myself to somebody. Now, this all came during a time where Jada and Will were amicably split from each other, having an open relationship as they had to begin with, as was rumored for many years. There was a tweet and DMs of Will talking to 50 Cent of all people, where Will said, you know, we're split right now and she can do her and I'll do me and blah, 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 and whatever. Fast forward to Will's appearance on Red Table Talk, where Jada openly tells him about his failings in the relationship and how she'd been cheating on him and doing this, that, and the third and messing around behind his back and blah, blah, blah. Even though they have an open relationship, this is all very complicated. But Will breaks down in tears, seeing the overall disintegration of his relationship and his marriage in front of the entire world. He's being humiliated and emasculated with everyone watching. The sight of Will Smith crying with tears streaming down his face becomes a worldwide meme, replacing the Jordan cry face meme, because men aren't allowed to cry. You suck it up and you deal with it. Be a man. You're not allowed to cry. You're not allowed to show vulnerabilities of any kind, of any sort. You're a man, damn it. You can never show any kind of weakness ever. You must be a fucking robot, a cyborg, and just deal with life as it is and never show any signs of weakness ever to anyone. That's how us men are trained and told to be from an early age. We're not supposed to cry. We're not supposed to show weakness and vulnerabilities and be soft. We're not allowed to. We got to be tough. We got to be strong. We got to be masculine. Being soft and crying and shedding tears and showing your emotions, that's feminine. That's not masculine at all. We're not allowed to show that weakness. So when a man does, this is what happens. His face becomes a meme. The sight of a man crying becomes a meme. And now Will Smith's life got flipped, turned upside down. And in this instance, he couldn't just move to Bel Air. No, he had to stay on that red table and fucking deal with it. And he had to put up with the entire world mocking him and making a fool out of him and laughing at him for a year plus, about 2 years now, and just deal with it. He's been a joke ever since. He's still made movies. He just won an Oscar for his role in King Richard, where he played the role of Serena and Venus Williams' father, Richard Williams. You know, his career still goes on. He's still having success, but he's still that dude from the red table who was crying about his relationship, his marriage, to the woman that he loved, to the mother of his children, falling apart and being in shambles for the whole world to see. Now we find ourselves at the Oscars. Last night, Los Angeles, Chris Rock on stage, making jokes about everyone and everything, doing his thing. Chris Rock's a funny guy. One of my all-time favorite comedians. Chris Rock made a movie a couple years ago called Top 5. Chris Rock is in my top 5 of top 5 comedians of all time, alongside George Carlin and Dave Chappelle, Red Fox, and Rodney Dangerfield. Yes, folks, ladies and gentlemen, that's my unofficial comedian top 5 of all time. Dave Chappelle, George Carlin, Chris Rock, Red Fox, and Rodney Dangerfield. Those to me are the 5 best comedians of all time. That's neither here nor there, but Chris Rock is on stage doing his thing, about to present an Oscar for Best Documentary. He's telling jokes about different people in the room, about current events, and starts telling jokes about Jada Pinkett and her bald head. Exactly what he said was, "Jada, I can't wait to see you in G.I. Jane 2. He then laughs and smirks and says, "Jada, you know I love you." Will and many other people in the crowd were laughing. Jada, however, is not laughing. She rolls her eyes. I've seen that look before on black women that I've talked to and dealt with in real life. I know that look. That look means you're in danger. That look is not good. And apparently Will must have saw that look, and Will realized, I am in imminent danger unless I do something right now. Or it could have been a situation where somebody says something to offend you or offend the person you're close to, the person you're fucking, the last person you see at the end of the day and the first person you see at the beginning of the next day. And initially you try to laugh it off like, ha, 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 ha. But in your mind, you know this shit pissed you off. You're laughing it off externally, but internally you're thinking, how am I going to beat the dog shit out of this person? Everyone's been there before. Will Smith now jumps up on stage. Chris Rock says, uh-oh. The crowd starts to, you know, create a buzz, make some noise or whatever. Everyone thinks initially this is a comedy bit. This is a part of the show. people right now to this day still think this was a part of the show. It's staged. It was phony. It was contrived. It was put together. It's fictitious. Whether it was or whether it's not is up for conversation. But now at this point, Will Smith is now approaching Chris Rock on stage. He walks up to him and open-handed slaps him in the face and then walks off. Just disrespectfully and calmly walks off. I appreciate the level of disrespect that Will Smith had in that slap to Chris Rock's face. That was beautiful. That was a work of art. Because that slap to the face said, I don't really see you as a threat because it's Chris Rock. I mean, let's be honest. Let's be clear. This is not a big, physically imposing guy. But it's still a grown-ass man. As a matter of fact, Chris Rock is older than Will Smith by about 5 years. He's 57. I think Will Smith's about 52. So Will Smith walks up to him and slaps the shit out of Chris Rock on stage in front of the entire world. This is the Oscars. Millions of people are watching. A room full of the Hollywood elite. Most of them are pedophiles, but still, this is the Hollywood elite. Big-time superstars are in the room right now. And they're all seeing this. And Will Smith just casually walks up to Chris Rock and open-handed palm pimp bitch slaps him in the face like it was nothing and it casually walked off, turned his back to him. That's where the disrespect came in. That's where the disrespect came in. Not even the slap in the face. The fact that he turned his back to him as if to say, I know you ain't going to do shit about this. I know you are not going to retaliate. You are not going to fight me back right here, right now. And even if you do, I'll still beat your ass. I will slap the piss out you right now and then turn my back to you and walk away. Because I know there ain't a damn thing you could or would do about it. And he was right. Now, when you go back and look at the video, this is why I dispute the claims that many people are making that this was all staged. I don't think this was staged. I thought it was initially. But upon further review, like an NFL instant replay, I'm gonna pick up the challenge flag on this one. A lot of people are throwing the challenge flag on this one. I went under the hood. I checked the instant replay, and I'm going to give Will Smith possession of the football at the 14-yard line, and I'm going to request that about 14 more seconds get put back on the clock. And it's going to be first and 10 at the 14-yard line for Will Smith. This was a real slap to the face. This was not staged. I don't believe it was. That's the way it looked initially, but upon further review, that's not what I think it was. Because if you go back and look at the tape, Chris Rock balls his fist up as if he wanted to retaliate. That wasn't Chris Rock, the comedian and movie star, that balled his fist up. That was Chris from Flatbush that balled his fist up and wanted to retaliate against Will from West Philadelphia. This was a lot of East Coast energy involved in this. You got Jada Pinkett from Baltimore, Chris Rock from Flatbush, Brooklyn, and Will Smith from West Philadelphia, born and raised. This made me homesick almost. This made me homesick. I'm on the West Coast. I don't see too many receipts and checks and balances being dealt out here on a regular basis. I see a lot of soft, passive-aggressive shit out here. I like the rugged, in-your-face, hostile, volatile attitude and demeanor and this overall fucked-up disposition of the people that I know from the East Coast. That's what I grew up with. That's what I miss. That's beautiful. I love seeing that. Checks and balances and receipts. You say something and I'm going to do something. That's the way it's supposed to be. Then after the slap, Chris Rock says, Will Smith just slapped the shit out of me. As Will Smith casually walks back to his seat, sits down next to Jada. The crowd, a hush has fallen over the crowd at this point. All the white people in the room are scared. Oh my God, the Negroes are fighting. We don't know what to make of this. Is this real? Is this fake? Is this how they all act? We don't know what to do right now. Clutch the pearls. Hide your purses. Should we notify security? Where is security, by the way? Will Smith just casually walked up on stage and treated Chris Rock like a hoe that didn't want to work. Was that Will Smith or a pimp named Slickback? The last person to slap Chris Rock that hard was Joey Caruso on Everybody Hates Chris. And then Will sits down, but Will's not done. No, Will's not finished yet. Will is barking at him from his seat in the crowd. Keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth. Keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth. And then Chris Rock is on stage saying, really? It's a joke, man. Really? It's a G.I. Jane joke. Will Smith ain't trying to hear none of this shit. Keep my wife's name out your fucking mouth. Chris Rock is flustered at this point. He tries to pivot. He tries to continue on with the show. He tries to remain professional. But he stumbles. He's flustered. He says, we're here to give out the documentary. No, we're here to give out the award for best documentary. He's tripping over his words. That also let me know this was not staged. This was not bullshit. There's some genuine authenticity to what happened right now. This was not a part of the show. I'm also looking at the reactions of people in the crowd. Lupita Nyong'o, who was in Black Panther, a big-time movie star, a beautiful black woman. I love her. Was sitting right behind Will Smith, and the look of shock and horror on her face told the story. Like, she's black, and she's looking at this nigga moment transpiring on stage, and this is a little bit too much for even her. Like, other black people are nervous about this at this point. Other black people don't know what to make of this, who are in the room right now. This is chaos. This is mayhem. This is not supposed to happen at the Oscars. You're supposed to comport yourself in a certain way. There's a certain level of decorum you're supposed to exercise at the Oscars. You ain't supposed to run up on stage and pimp slap comedians at the Oscars when they tell a joke. Will Smith violated all that because at this moment, at this time, on Sunday, March 27th, 2022, Will Smith, the all-American, wholesome, good guy, movie star, TV star, rapper, global icon, one of the most well-known, famous, and successful people on planet Earth, a guy that millions of people look up to and love and respect and admire. Will Smith on this day, after all the trials and tribulations that he's been through with his wife and their relationship and their marriage falling apart at the seams in front of the entire world, the tumultuous relationship he's had with Jada Pinkett Smith for many years, Will Smith at this very moment at the Oscars in 2022 finally broke down and had a nigga moment. It was at this very moment, this nigga moment, that finally Will Smith succumbed to ignorance overwhelming the mind of an otherwise logical Negro male, causing him to act in an illogical, self-destructive manner. Will Smith had a nigga moment. Every single black person on this earth, at some point or another, even the most distinguished, polished, refined black person, even the most demure, soft-spoken, quietest, nicest black person you ever met in your life. I promise you, I guarantee you, I'm telling you this, I know this from experience. Every single black person who's ever walked planet Earth has had a nigga moment. Trust me, believe me when I tell you this, I've had several of them. I've had dozens of them. I almost had one the other day at work. I was walking around at work the other day. First of all, if you can't tell by my voice on this podcast, I might sound a little bit nasally. I've been under the weather. I'm less than 100%. I don't like being sick. I especially don't like being sick out in public. I don't like going to work. I don't like going to work, period. I don't like going to work healthy. But I especially don't like going to work when I'm feeling less than 100%. So when I go to work, when I'm sick, when I'm under the weather, when I got the sniffles, when I'm feeling fucked up, when my voice ain't what I want it to be, I'm already pissed off and irritated in a mood. I went to work over the weekend thinking to myself, saying to myself, I wish a motherfucker would. I sincerely hope for their sake that a motherfucker doesn't, because I'm already fucking pissed off to begin with because I'm fucking sick and I really don't want anyone to bother me. I want to be left alone. I want to be on an island by myself. Don't talk to me. Don't come at me sideways. Don't even look at me the wrong way. I don't want to be fucked with right now. Because if you do fuck with me right now, I promise you, a nigga moment will ensue. That's just what it is. And even for a guy like Will Smith, the nicest rapper of all time, not nicest as in he's the best rapper of all time, but the nicest as in he's a nice guy. He don't curse in his records. He don't kill anyone in his records. He don't threaten anyone in his records. He's a nice guy. But even nice guys can have a nigga moment. So the fallout from this has been widespread. As I said earlier, everyone's talking about it. It's the biggest, most trending topic on Twitter, all over social media. and everyone's trying to figure out who was right, who was wrong. Did Will Smith overreact? Was Chris Rock just being a comedian and telling a joke? Is it a big deal? Is it not a big deal? I'm going to try to deconstruct this as best I can and give this, like I said earlier, my opinion, the way I look at this. In my opinion, Will Smith was right and correct in what he did and the way he handled this situation. A little bit of background story, a little bit of context. Jada Pinkett Smith recently came out and said that she suffers from alopecia. For those of you who don't know, alopecia is a sudden hair loss that starts with one or more circular bald patches that may overlap. Alopecia occurs when the immune system attacks hair follicles and may be brought on by severe stress. Jada Pinkett Smith recently alluded to the fact that she was taking a shower one day and she noticed that she had clumps of her hair falling out. And she went and got checked out. She was diagnosed with alopecia. So that is why Jada Pinkett Smith is currently walking around with a bald head. As a matter of fact, she's sitting at the Oscars looking phenomenal, by the way, looking beautiful with her bald head. Chris Rock, many years ago, produced a film documentary called Good Hair. He was prompted by a question from his young daughter, and he set out to explore the importance of hair in black culture. In the film documentary, he interviews different celebrities, and he visits barbershops and hair and nail salons to learn more about black culture and the importance and the relevance of black hair, specifically to black women. So with all that being said, it makes it even more ridiculous why Chris Rock would proceed to joke about a black woman's hair or lack thereof on stage at the Oscars with the entire world watching this. Of all people, Chris Rock from Flatbush, Brooklyn, should know better. Chris Rock, who produced a documentary about black people's relationship with their hair, specifically black women's relationship with their hair, which is a sacred relationship. Black women's hair means the world to them. Don't touch their hair and don't ask them about their hair. It's sacred. It's symbolic of a lot of things. It's their crown. It's their glory. It's a black woman's identity in many ways, the relationship they have with their hair. If you've ever been with a black woman, you would know this. Chris Rock has been with black women. He should know this. Chris Rock was raised by a black woman. He should know this. Chris Rock is a black man of 57 years. He should know this. I thought that all black people knew about this, but apparently I guess I'm wrong. Because I live in a world where I just, for whatever reason, I guess I'm foolish, I'm naive. I assume that people are going to be sane and logical and reasonable and rational about things. Boy, am I stupid. I'm wrong. I'm fucked up. One of these days I'm going to grow up and realize that people are fucking retarded. But apparently people just don't understand the relationship that black women have with their hair, and specifically black men don't understand the relationship that black women have with their hair. As I said earlier, if you've ever been with a black woman, you should know better. You should see the process, the all-day process, the all-week process that a black woman goes through to make sure her hair is on point, to make sure her hair is the way she wants it to be. The connection, the relationship that a black woman has with her hair, it means something. It's impactful. There's a lot going on there. There's a lot of work and preparation and time and effort that goes into this. I'm bald myself. I'm a man, though. It doesn't matter for me anymore. I made peace with being bald a long time ago. My hairline betrayed me. It is what it is. I made peace with that. We're cool now. It was a struggle at first. I put on a lot of hats. I wouldn't go anywhere without a hat when it first happened, when it first went down. It was a lot of public embarrassment going to a club that wouldn't allow you to enter without a hat, and you had to take your hat off. It is what it is. It's over now. I'm a proud, bald man. But I'm a man, though. It's more fashionable for me as a man to walk around bald. As a woman, it's not as fashionable to walk around bald, and women have that sacred relationship with their hair, and they want to do their hair in different styles, and they want to express themselves through their hair. So for a black woman to lose her hair and it's out of her control has to be a soul-crushing, depressing experience. I don't know. I can't relate to that. I can't relate to it from a woman's perspective. Like I said, I'm a dude. There's different things for me. Women go through different shit. I don't envy women at all. I have sympathy for women. And to that point, a lot of guys, a lot of brothers in particular, might hear me say all this. They might hear my tone throughout this podcast and call me a simp or better yet, my personal favorite, a beta male. You know, a lot of these brothers out here have been listening to Kevin Samuels, and they've allowed this quasi-homosexual to think for them and tell them how to think and different buzzwords to use. So they might call a brother like me, who advocates for the love and protection and admiration and support and endorsement of black women, and call someone like me a simp. Well, fuck you too. Here's another Boondocks reference. A lot of y'all brothers be on some homies over hoes shit. You seem to like men a lot. You seem to discourage and discredit and disrespect women a lot. You seem to advocate for men a lot. So maybe there's a closet you need to come out of. That's neither here nor there. But back to this Will and Chris Rock and Jada situation. I don't see a problem with what Will did. This is a man supporting and protecting his wife. This is a black man supporting and protecting a black woman in public. That's not something you see every day. Now, some people will say, well, he could have handled it differently. I don't care. I disagree. I think he handled that shit appropriately. Go on stage and check this motherfucker. The second point that many people keep bringing up is, it was only a joke. Chris Rock is a comedian. He tells jokes for a living. He rips on everybody. Get over it. Sticks and stones, right? It's just words. Why are you offended? It's just a joke. You're at an awards show. He's going to get on everyone. Just deal with it. Relax. Chill out. I've always felt a certain way about that kind of sentiment because, for me personally, I feel like you have to know someone like that to joke around with them like that. And it's also, to me, arrogant and pretentious to tell someone else how they should respond to a joke, how they should respond to an insult being directed towards them or someone that they know and love. It's arrogant and pretentious. I can't tell someone to just get over it, respond to a certain situation a certain way. It might not have offended me, but it damn sure offended them. It might not be a problem for you, but it's a problem for Jada Pinkett Smith. And there's also history between the Smith family and Chris Rock. Chris Rock has made jokes about them before, in particular Jada Pinkett Smith. Chris Rock was the host of the Oscars in 2016. And during that time, in that year, there was a hashtag going around called Oscars So White. A number of black actors and black celebrities were going to boycott the Oscars because the Oscars was failing to recognize black people and black movies and black actors and producers, etc., for their work in Hollywood. A lot of black people were not being acknowledged. So even in the middle of this boycott with black people not attending the Oscars, Chris Rock accepts the invitation to host the Oscars and then tells a joke about Jada Pinkett Smith that went a little something like this. He said, Jada Pinkett boycotting the Oscars is like me boycotting Rihanna's panties. I was never invited in the first place. First and foremost, if all these black celebrities had come together and decided they're going to protest and boycott the Oscars, why are you as a black man accepting an invitation to come host the Oscars? Why are you accepting an invitation to host an award show that's not going to acknowledge or reward anyone who looks like you? You have now become a token black man. You're on stage in front of a predominantly, almost exclusively white crowd now, since black people are boycotting that year. And not only are you on that stage in front of an almost exclusively white crowd, but you're on that stage in front of that crowd, excoriating another black person, in particular a black woman. Black women in general are the least protected group of people out there. And I already know I'm a simp, I'm a beta male. We don't need to talk about women in a positive way. Women ain't shit. Women are bitches and hoes. They're trash. Fuck women, blah, blah, blah. I know how y'all brothers get down. You all hate women because some chick did you wrong in 2013. So you all hate women for the rest of your lives. Like I said, homies over hoes, right? Well, actually, you don't hate women. You hate black women. White women are okay. So are Mexican women and so are Asian women. But black women, fuck them, right? That's how the typical brother nowadays thinks. Black women, they ain't shit. But white women, that's okay. That's how we validate ourselves, by hooking up with a white woman or an Asian woman or a Mexican woman. We don't want to get with black women because we might have ugly children. I've heard this before, by the way. I've heard black men say to me in conversation, I don't want to get with a black woman because I don't want ugly children. and then they proceed to get with a white, Mexican, or Asian woman and produce a beige gargoyle. Your kids are still ugly, but not only are they ugly, but those kids also have no identity and no self-awareness because their father is a fucking coon. But back to what I was saying, black women are the least protected people on planet Earth. No one really looks out for black women. So in this instance, in this moment, when Will Smith had his nigga moment and ran up on stage and slapped the champagne room out of Chris Rock, this was a black man publicly defending and supporting a black woman. Why are we as black people upset about this? I don't get it. I'm at a loss for words. I'm flabbergasted. All the talk I've been seeing all day about the shut up and get over it. You know, everyone on social media is the coolest person that ever walked the face of the earth. Everyone got the thickest skin. Everyone is above being sensitive. No one's bothered by anything. Everyone's just so fucking cool. Oh, man, we just joking around, man. Come on, we joked around like that all the time growing up. We was always cutting up on each other, man, talking shit about our mothers and different family members. And I fucked your mom. I did this, that, and the third. Yeah, we was kids back then. These are grown-ass men. And we currently grown-ass men now. There's certain shit you don't play about. This, to me, was all about respect. And unfortunately, in today's day and age, we've normalized disrespect. I've spoken about this before on the Kwame Brown podcast. I'll speak about it again. We've unfortunately normalized disrespect. And when a motherfucker advocates for his respect and the respect of his woman, the mother of his children, the last person he sees at night, and the first person he sees in the morning, when a black man advocates for the respect of his black woman, that's looked down upon. And that's insane to me. I don't understand why people have a problem with what Will Smith did. In particular, I don't understand why black people have a problem with what Will Smith did in this situation. Are you fucking kidding me right now? Of course, the dumbest point I've seen made repeatedly all day long is how come Will Smith pulled up on Chris Rock for making a joke about his wife, but didn't pull up on August Alsina for fucking his wife? Well, a few things here. Number one, August Alsina suffers from an autoimmune disease. Specifically, he has a liver disease. He was quoted in 2014 as saying, "I have a liver disease where my autoimmune system is fighting against itself. Reality is I'm sick all the time. I'd really like to talk about it, and I'm not looking for anyone's sympathy," he says in 2014. Just imagine, you've seen all the fallout. You've seen all the backlash. You've seen all the controversy and talk about Will Smith beating up Chris Rock at the Oscars. Just imagine if Will Smith, global movie icon, the Fresh Prince, he's the DJ, I'm the rapper, getting jiggy with it, going to Miami, Men in Black. Just imagine if Will Smith, Mike Lowry from Bad Boys, independent, all that shit. Just imagine if Will Smith had put hands on and beaten the shit out of a kid 23 years younger than him who, oh, by the way, suffers from liver disease, is dying, who passed out on stage during one of his performances many years ago. Just imagine the talk and the conversation. If Will Smith had beaten up August Alsina, he would never, his career would be over. His career would be over. Right now, his career is still pretty good. He assaulted Chris Rock, who's 5 years older than him. Yeah, he's Chris Rock. He's a comedian. He's a small guy. But as far as we know, at least we hope anyway, he's not currently dying from an autoimmune disease. He's not sick. If Will Smith beats up an anonymous R&B star that 3/4 of the population has never heard of before, who's dying from a fucking liver disease, that's a horrible look for him. That's a terrible look for him. What are people talking about? You want Will Smith to go beat up August Alsina? What does he gain from that? What does that prove? Will Smith, who once upon a time trained to play the role of Muhammad Ali, so he's taken boxing lessons before. Will Smith's a fairly big dude, about 6'1", 6'2". He can probably handle himself against the average guy. And certainly could handle himself against a guy who's dying from the inside. It's a bad look. There's no reason. Even though this guy fucked his wife, as I said earlier, amicable split, open relationship, Will even said, I'm letting her do her. That's what they do anyway. That's what they're into. They were accused many years of being swingers. They've denied that, but that's what they like to do. But this kid came along, was friends with Jaden, their son, and fuck Jada Pinkett. Hey, man, it is what it is. In that situation, in that regard, honestly, as a man, your role is to check your woman. That's your wife. That's who you're married to. She violated the marriage. She's the one you're married to. She's the one who looked you in the eye and said, I do. I will take you to heaven and hold in sickness and in health till death do us part. She's your woman. She's the mother of your children. And she's the one that publicly humiliated you. Will's a better man than me, because if that was me in that same situation, I'd have gone on that talk show and I'd have flipped that fucking red table over. That would have been an immediate issue. I'd have caused havoc on that show. That might have been the last ever taping of Red Table Talk. I'd have flipped that fucking red table over. I'd have went off. I'd have broken the whole set down. That would, like I said, that'd be the last ever taping of the show. I'd have shut that shit the fuck down. Air that woman out. Put her in check. The man in that situation, he's a kid. Let him go. Let him do his thing. That's a kid. It's whatever. You the elder. Let that go. As a man, honestly, you should be cognizant of what you did in that relationship to cause your woman to venture off and cheat on you in the first place. Own it. Be a man about it. Ask yourself, what did I do? Or more importantly, what didn't I do to cause your woman to go venture off and go fucking around with some other dude in the first place? Maybe as a man, you weren't doing enough to begin with. You weren't fulfilling your responsibilities to that woman. That's a conversation you got to have internally as a man. Just being honest about it. Just being 100% transparent about it. You got to ask yourself those questions as a man. But I damn sure am not going to go on your talk show and have you air out all of our dirty laundry, all of our business for the entire world to see and have you emasculate and humiliate me in front of the entire world. That's what we're not going to do. Will's, like I said, better man than me. He sat there and just took it. I done went the fuck off. Will about 52, I'm 36. I haven't yet reached that level of maturity yet. I'm a work in progress. I'll be the first one to admit that. But that's totally different from this situation where Chris Rock, another man, is talking shit about your wife. This situation with August Alsina, that's y'all's business. Y'all handle that. But at the end of the day, Will Smith showed up to the Oscars with Jada Pinkett on his arm. They're sitting side by side with each other, and they're still husband and wife. So you got a man on stage talking crazy about your wife, and he's had a history of talking crazy about your wife, and your wife looks uncomfortable. As a man, as her husband, you need to go on stage. You need to confront this man and G-check him and let him know this will no longer be tolerated. This was the correct and appropriate thing for Will Smith to do, and has nothing to do with the R&B singer hooking up with his old lady. For all we know, that shit been squashed. That was about 2 years ago, at least, at the latest, at the earliest, whatever. For all we know, that shit is water under the bridge. That Red Table Talk was in 2020. They showed up together. As I said, they appear right now at this very moment to be on good terms. So all that's behind them. But now they're already trying to work through their differences. They're already trying to live their lives on a public level. And now you got this dude on stage ridiculing this woman about a medical condition she can't control. Everything just adds up. And Will got to the boiling point, and Will said, fuck it. And Will had a nigga moment on stage for the whole world to see. It happens. People, I'm telling you, it happens. It gets the better of you. It gets the best of us. No black person is immune to it. Eventually, it's going to catch up to you. You can try as hard as you can and live your best life in peace and tranquility and serenity, and eventually somebody or something is going to come along to provoke you to having a nigga moment. Will Smith is not immune to it. No black person is immune to it. It just happens. In the meantime, my advice for everyone, stop pretending that nothing ever bothers you, because it does. Stop pretending that nothing gets under your skin, because it does. I'll share a quick story before I go. I saw a situation similar to this when I was in the United States Navy. I saw a guy who was a very nice guy, very outgoing, jovial, gregarious guy. No names being named on the Deion Gordon podcast. I'll just say this dude from Alaska that I knew, obviously a white dude, a dude from Alaska who had a girlfriend who was also in the Navy. And a lot of guys, because we're in the Navy, guys talk shit about each other, guys pick on each other all the time. It happens. If you have thin skin, you honestly can't even be in the Navy or any branch in the military, because to pass the time, just to make the day go by faster, guys will talk shit about you. But this guy from Alaska had a girlfriend in the Navy, and other guys in the squadron that I was in over in Japan would talk shit about this guy's girlfriend and allude to her being promiscuous and being very loose with her vagina and getting ran through and getting fucked by numerous guys in the Navy and so on and so forth. And typically this guy would just, like I said, very nice, outgoing, jovial guy, friendly, funny dude. He would just go along with it. He'd take it in stride. He'd grin and bear it. He'd just laugh and play along with it. He would take all the jokes, all the verbal abuse and just deal with it. Most of the time, 99% of the time. But on this particular day, on one particular day in one instance, he had enough. He was fed up. He wasn't putting up with it anymore. He finally reached his boiling point. He's a white dude, but he had a nigga moment one day in the work center, in the shop. And there was another guy. Let's just say a guy from upstate New York who was talking shit about this guy's girlfriend, as he typically did. But on this particular day, like I said, my man from Alaska wasn't having it. And he's sitting in the work center with a pissed off look on his face, no emotion, blank stare, arms folded, sitting in the chair. And you could tell from his physical disposition, he was not having it this day. He was not with the shits on this particular day. But my man from upstate New York wasn't reading it the same way I was reading it. Or maybe he just didn't give a fuck, but he kept going at this guy, going at him, and more jokes and more slander and more verbal abuse and more attacks. And the guy from Alaska just simply said, "Hey man, today is not the day." Simple as that. That's all he said. "Hey man, today is not the day." And my man from upstate New York, he just kept going. More jokes, more slander, more abuse. And finally, my man from Alaska, who's also a fairly big guy, this guy at one point or another was training to be, I think, a Navy SEAL or some kind of spec ops in the Navy, but still a pretty big guy. Both guys are pretty big, but my man from Alaska is bigger and also in better physical shape, bigger and stronger. He gets up out of his chair all in one motion after my man from upstate New York had finally gone too far. There's one joke too many. Even after the verbal warning from my man from Alaska, even after he had been admonished to cut it out, to stop, today ain't the day. But my man from Alaska gets up after one too many jokes, all in one motion, picks this dude up by the collar of his shirt, yokes him up, as we often say, and throws him into a bag of trash. All in one motion, just gets up out of his chair, springs into action, picks this motherfucker up, lifts him off his feet, and throws him into a bag of trash. And then calmly sits back down, puts his arms folded again, thousand-yard stare, no emotion, no words being said. You could cut the tension in the shop with a knife. The whole time this is all going down, I'm sitting there eating chicken tenders, just minding my own business and taking it all in and saying to myself, "Damn, these white boys are crazy." But this is what happens. This is what can happen when you go overboard, step over the line, and talk about somebody's old lady. Everybody has that inflection point. Everybody has that limit. Everybody has that trigger. Nobody's perfect. Everyone's going through something. The best course of action is to simply shut the fuck up and leave people the fuck alone. Sometimes that's the best thing to do. Especially nice people. Nice people are the last people you want to piss off. I'm telling you right now. Nice people are the absolute last people you want to piss off and incite. Because nice people don't want to be angry. They don't want to be mad. They want to be happy. They're nice people. They want to be on the up and up. They want to be your friend. They don't want to be pissed off with you. So when you piss them off and you make them mad, you drive them to that point, it can get ugly. You might get thrown into a bag of trash, or you might get the shit slapped out of you on stage at the Oscars. Leave people the fuck alone. And more importantly, as a man, refrain from talking shit about another man's woman. As I said at the beginning of this podcast, I'm your friend, all right? Dion Gordon is your friend. I'm trying to help. I've seen a lot of people get their ass kicked in my day. Trust me on that. I've seen a lot of good, clean ass whoopings in my day. I know what precipitates a good, clean ass whooping. I know what leads up. I know when a good ass whooping is about to take place. So I can help you out. I can tell you what to do and furthermore, what not to do to prevent yourself from catching a good, clean ass whooping. Drink water. Stay hydrated. That's very important. It's something I learned during my time in the United States Navy. Drink water. Always stay hydrated, all right? Mind your motherfucking business and stay out of grown folks' business. It's very important. Being hydrated and staying out of grown folks' business will take you a long way in this world. You will get through life in a more comfortable way if you drink water, stay hydrated, and mind your own fucking business and stay out of grown folks' business. And number three, a lot of good things can happen to you in life, and a lot of good, clean ass whoopings can be prevented if you simply take a deep breath, close your eyes, count to three, and shut the fuck up. Some things don't need to be said. Just shut the fuck up. Good things happen when you shut the fuck up. So with all that being said, that concludes this episode of the Dion Gordon Podcast. As always, eternally grateful, always humble, very much appreciative. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, picture me rolling. I'm out.